Name this jam.
Presidential March.
False.
Hmm.
Hail to the chief.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very patriotic presidential Independence Day edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. This episode being released, I believe, on July 5th. So day after, all those festivities are out of the way, but you might as well. Maybe you're really, really fucking patriotic, and you're like, I need to celebrate more. Why not listen to the Brothers Movie Factory and feel those red, white, and blue feels that you get on old ID4? All right.
On ID, yeah. But on ID5.
On ID5.
Who's to say Independence Day can't be every day?
Yeah.
Keep the spirit alive.
You should be
every day.
You should be goddamn patriotic every day. They're like, let's celebrate America. I'm like, let's do it every day.
Yes.
Here we are. You're wearing your American flag shorts, yeah, and your red, white, and blue shirt. I'm wearing a salmon colored shirt and khaki pants from Hollister and American Eagle underwear. Doesn't get much more American than American Eagle.
That's right. That or Walmart's.
Or Walmart's brand or Target's.
Target's finest here.
Yeah. And so today, obviously, as we're recording a very late episode here. So we might get real tired. I'm pretty tired now, not going to lie.
Pretty tired.
Yeah. Well, that's the end of the show.
Yeah.
But
time to go sleep.
Yeah,
sleepy.
I'm tired.
Feeling sleepy.
But on this podcast of the movies, by the movies, for the movies, I would say we are known as the...
Oh,
I'm asking you.
You talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. You said he didn't matter.
Speaking of America.
Ants. Sylvester Stallone is a big ant.
It's for the good of the colony.
In this country where anything can happen, Sylvester Stallone is an ant.
He's just a big damn ant.
Yeah. I was going to bring that movie up later anyways, but we'll get there.
We're the movies, though.
And we are known as the movies.
Hence but ants.
What we do here, before we get into the movie and sorts, I guess we should probably do some introductions. Leathery tones are
leather.
Leather, very smooth. Not really though. I am your host Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory, American Jeff Goldblum, red, white, and blue. Jeff Goldblum,
red, white, and bloom.
Whoa,
that is.
That is. That's the most goddamn American thing I've heard all day.
There it is. Yes.
Yeah, must go faster. But the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
David!
Oh, jeez.
Oh, David.
I never realized. I was like watching them. Like, they're very eccentric. Like, I was like, this
man is flamboyant.
This character is really.
Oh, David.
Yeah. I was like, jeez.
Are you not watching, David? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Does that sound like him?
Yeah, it does. Because it's not an exaggeration. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
President Thomas J. Whitmore.
Punch you in the penis. The brother.
You ain't got enough bullets, bitch. Gus here.
All righty. We got that out of the way. So let's talk about some Americanism here. Let's talk about the red, white, and blues. The flags. Space. Let's talk
Space
Independence
Force.
Day. More importantly, 1996. I was thinking of Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
1996, Independence Day, the film.
Yes.
You hear that title, you know, if you said someone, you know, like, we're going to watch Independence Day, they'd probably be like, oh, that's probably some kind of
George
war
Washington
movie. Like,
epic.
Yeah, like a patriotic, you know, yeah, old school movie. Instead, you get this patriotic, modern, historic fucking space alien battle movie in Independence Day.
Nothing's more American
than aliens.
Jesus.
Space aliens.
Space aliens.
I said it. No. Shit.
Really?
Yeah.
Got him. God, it's his turn for the giggles. He got the giggles this time.
He said it, and I was like, oh, fuck. Space aliens.
Holy shit.
Good day there.
That's good stuff.
Oh, shit. All right.
Nothing more American than aliens.
Space aliens fighting.
But that wall.
Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. All right. Shit. Space aliens and fucking them up.
That's right. That's America there.
Nothing more American than that.
Oh, my God. So.
That's podcast.
So, holy shit. Roland Emmerich, who directed this movie.
Yeah. Was this his first film?
Nah. He directed that big sci-fi hit Stargate.
Ah, I started that film, and I got through the opening credits. Yeah. And I was like, why am I watching this?
You're like, I should be watching Family Guy.
Why am I not watching Family Guy? And I think that's what I put on.
So he made that movie. It had a lot to do with, you know, jumping ship to other times and space and all that. And in interviews, he got asked a lot about, like, his belief in extraterrestrial life and if he thinks we're alone in the universe and stuff like that, just as a topic of conversation and interviews. And it got him thinking, and he approached his producer partner there, and I can't remember the producer's name, Devlin something or whatever.
Devlin Bowman!
He was in this movie.
The bad guy from Master of Disguise. He was Data?
Yeah, he was the crazy scientist guy.
Oh, shit. That was Brett Spiner.
Yeah.
Fuck. I didn't realize
see him?
He's got long hair. Yeah. I'm used to him being all prim and proper and looking
farting.
Handsome and yeah. Mm. Or him being really pale and having his yellow eyes as Data.
So they got to talking and they came up with an idea to make a sci-fi action invasion film. And it really started off, this is the one that started off the kick of the modern day disaster film.
Yeah. Which he was like,
he
was like the grandfather of it. And now he's known as like a disaster film.
Yeah.
What he did this.
Godzilla.
Yeah. Godzilla. Day After Tomorrow.
2012.
Probably other spattered in there that aren't disaster films, but those are his big
Day
ones.
Day Resurgence.
Ah. Did he direct that as well? Okay. Well, you win some. And then you lose all the rest.
And you get a call and checkmate.
If I remember, Day After Tomorrow is okay, but there's that Dennis Quaid part, which is a big chunk of the movie. I don't like that.
And he's the star.
There's Jake Gyllenhaal part. Jake Gyllenhaal, you could argue he's the star.
You could argue he's the most handsome man alive.
Yeah, you could.
You could also argue that Jeff Goldblum's the most handsome man of all time.
You could. He does. He wears the portion of his chest that is visible throughout this movie, and then in Jurassic Park as well, you're like, why can't? He's not even, like, fit. He rocks it.
He's thin.
Why can't I just be like that? Why can't I just be that cool?
Well, you have to be Jewish and from
Pittsburgh.
He has
a fucking jazz band.
Yeah.
He's
a jaw
cool.
band.
A jaw band!
We should have went and saw them. That's one of my biggest regrets.
Yes.
It was Valentine's Day of 2019. He was playing right by us. We didn't go.
Shoulda.
Well, checkmate ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah, he was kind of the disaster film has come and went. But this movie, man, I was telling you that first, like, it's separated into 3 days. Starts on July 2nd, goes to July 3rd, goes to July 4th. That whole July 2nd day is just really fucking tense. It's like a really solid build to the attacks.
You were like, I know what's going to happen. but I'm still really nervous.
On edge. Yeah, it was a mix of the music, because it was really loud, the tones they used, and just building up, and I knew what was going to happen. I'm like, fuck. Because I hadn't seen this movie in years. You hadn't seen this movie in years. Brief plot synopsis. Basically, aliens from outer space coming to the Earth. They are like a locust. They take the planet over, kill everyone on the planet, take all the resources, and then move on to the next one. They just kind of exterminate planets. A lot like Galactus. Galactus eats, in the Marvel comics, he eats worlds and then moves to the next world. Kind of like that. They're coming. They take all the resources. They're like the Saiyans, too.
The Saiyans.
The Super Saiyans. Maybe they're Super Saiyans.
Who's, what's his name? Unicron from Transformers.
Is that what he was doing, too?
Giant planet transformer. Yeah. Eats planets for energy.
Yeah. So, they're kind of like that, where they're just coming, get the resources, and you got to find a way to fight them off.
Yeah.
So that's kind of really the brief synopsis.
So it's just a disaster survival movie.
Yeah. And that first half, you're introduced to all three of your main characters. You're introduced to the president, played by Bill Pullman of Spaceballs fame, and that's it.
Casper fame, please.
No, Spaceballs fame.
Spaceballs the movie.
Spaceballs the DVD.
Ooh, ooh. I got them full.
I think we burped at the same time too, because I was like, bah, and you're like, ooh, ooh. Spaceballs fame, Bill Pullman. In my head, when I think of Bill Pullman, if you said Bill Pullman, his speech in this movie comes to mind, but also I'd usually think of a million, just because that's the most quoted line for no goddamn reason.
There's that scene. He picks up, someone hands on the phone, Mr. President, he picks up the phone and puts it to his ear, and you're like, a million?
that's unfair. Not fair. Mr. President, Pizza the Hut. Ah, yeah. Oh, you're delicious, boss. I was honestly in my head. I was like, "Fuck! I gotta watch that movie when I get home."
Be a good fall asleep.
Yeah, exactly. But Bill Pullman, the president of the United States, he's introduced. What? He's the youngest president ever. He was an air pilot, or a war hero, and people are kind of questioning his ability to run the country. Now you're introduced to Jeff Goldblum's character, David. He went to MIT for 8 years, and now he is a cable repairman.
I guess.
Yeah, kind of.
It doesn't really explain
where he works. I thought maybe it was they were getting satellite interference, they said.
Yeah, they worked with satellites or something.
He's the one that ultimately stumbles upon the aliens' plot to coordinate attacks based on them harnessing the power of our satellites to communicate with other ships. So he's introduced. His wife is the press secretary for the
president,
so that's kind of where they tie together. And then you have Will
Ex-wife,
Smith's character,
please,
ex-wife,
separated.
But he wears his wedding band.
Love that, you know.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
All you need
love
is
was
love.
Never the problem.
All you need is love. John Lennon, small man, shot in the back, very sad.
That's I love that guy, the David's dad.
He's in the sequel. He's a big part. He's a pretty decent part in the sequel.
Shit.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a pretty decent part in this point.
It's my David. About the same degree.
Okay. And then you have Will Smith's character, Captain Steve Hiller, with honors. he's Air Force pilot, wants to settle down, get a family. He's talking about proposing to his girlfriend, who is an exotic dancer. Her son and kind of take over that job.
Little Rascals.
Yeah, he really wants to fly for NASA, and he's declined. So those are your three big main characters throughout the film, and they all tie together very nicely throughout the film. They all kind of find their way to each other. And I always like that in terms of how the movie feels really tight in terms of storytelling and how it doesn't feel forced that these characters come together.
Right.
It works really well. Let's talk about this film in terms of what do you like about Independence Day? As we watched it tonight, what really stuck out to you throughout it?
Honestly, and it's kind of funny to say now, Roland Emmerich's directing in this movie.
Yeah.
Is really well orchestrated the whole film. Just
makes you on edge.
Yeah, the tension he's able to give you, the excitement he's able to put together for you, you see things that you've never seen before, slash haven't seen still. Like, I don't think they've, to my knowledge, have made spaceships as big as they did in this movie, because they're 15 miles long.
Yeah, 15 miles long, and then the mothership was
1/4 the size of the moon or something.
It was like almost, it was a pretty big chunk.
Yeah, and you buy it, though. It's not like, that's ridiculous.
No, it looks like it could easily happen.
And
I was wondering when I was watching it, I'm like, why are they like on fire? I'm like, that's, they're burning up in the atmosphere.
Yeah, they're so
like,
fucking big.
I didn't get it for a second. I'm like, why is there just a giant flame cloud? I'm like, oh, that's the giant ship burning up in the atmosphere.
That was a potential title at one point. They wanted the title to be Independence Day, but they couldn't get the rights to the name Independence Day. So some alternative names were ID4, Retaliation or something, and then Sky of Fire.
No!
Which I think previous to this movie, there was another film called Fire in the Sky, which is an alien abduction movie.
Okay.
Yeah, but that visual of those ships coming into Earth's atmosphere.
Especially when they come out like of the cloud, finally.
It's like a giant cloud, right? Yeah. Funny side story. I was driving to work years ago. It was probably 2014 or 15. And I was on Liberty Bridge down here in Pittsburgh. And as I'm driving, it's early in the morning, I look up, clear sky, except for this giant wave of this cloud. It looked like fucking the ship from Independence Day.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, that's the best part of the story, as I'm, like, staring, looking at it, and, like, out of my peripheral, all I see, a car is stopped. I turn, I slam my brakes, and I hit the motherfucker, and no damage was done to him or me, and we both went our separate ways, because he didn't have his driver's license or any identification or nothing.
You lucked out there, because you could have fucked his car, and you'd been like, well, let's swap insurance, and be like, I don't have any, and like, oh, see you around.
Big gulps, huh?
So
yeah, Independence Day almost ruined my day back then, but yeah. So
distracted driving, kids. Don't do it.
Watch out for... clouds.
Walk out for clouds, yeah.
Roommate Matt, he always makes fun of me from that. He's like, you're a horrible driver. You stare at clouds. Roland Emmerich's handle of this movie, excellent. Will Smith, he's a movie star in this movie for sure.
Well, real quick before we go into the other characters, there, you said you had made the statement. You see things in this film that you people wouldn't even believe. But you see things in this film that haven't been replicated. And one of the things I wanted to touch base on throughout this podcast tonight, it was definitely the fact that, you know, how many times have we seen New York get destroyed in a movie? How many times have we seen, and excluding other Roland Emmerich films, because, like, Day After Tomorrow, like, everything gets
Godzilla.
Destroyed. Yeah, Godzilla, New York completely gets destroyed in a couple other places. But, like, we've seen, I'm always a fan, like, I was thinking the other day, I'm like, why hasn't there? I know Pittsburgh is a smaller city, but why hasn't there been like a monster movie where like the monster destroys Pittsburgh or something happens like cataclysmic in Pittsburgh? Even in this movie, like Philadelphia is completely destroyed. I'm like, what about Pittsburgh? But like smaller cities, you never get like different visuals. You see a lot of the same visuals in other movies, especially destruction pieces.
Pittsburgh is one of the most what's the word, dynamic, unique architecturally cities.
I don't think you said that right. Cities.
Architecturally, Pittsburgh has one of the most unique designs.
Yes.
That's the proper sense.
Yes. But think about all the bridges they could have blown up.
Oh,
like the aliens.
Plenty of bridges.
The shot of I think the most famous shot in this is the White House blowing up. I'm guessing they used models, right?
Yeah.
And blew them up. And it looks so effective, that practical effect. Like, today they wouldn't – obviously they would use CGI, but the practical effects they used look really good. I think the one thing I noticed is a lot of it looked almost – like, when cars were flipping and stuff, it kind of looked in slow motion. Like, the cars looked like they were flipping in slow motion. But that was just the effects back then. But the blowing up of, like, the White House, like, that's so simple. Like, the White House isn't this, like, grandiose, tall building getting knocked down. It's, like, the White House.
But it's a symbol, damn it.
Yeah, just seeing it blow up. And you see, like, the Empire State Building get blown up. And you see some tower in Los Angeles get
what is
blown
that?
Up.
I don't know what the name. I've seen it.
I'm not sure either. But
the,
you
the
see,
big
like,
one in L.A.
Yeah, and I know it was a, this is an American-based film, but, like, that was the one thing I wish. It's, like, they would have shown more, like, things in other countries. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they could have done something... like the Roman Colosseum getting blown up, or because they do say like one is placed in Rome, mm-hmm. or like something in Moscow, or something like that, to see these other countries having issues too, because we don't really see that too much. We just it is Independence Day,
that's right.
It's America, but yeah, no, the visuals in this movie are really good, and their use of models is really good as well, and explosions and fire.
Yeah, it's definitely iconic, and it. I think it, if it hasn't already, it will be a classic in sci-fi.
I consider it one of the best.
Yeah,
I would too. Tonight, I was like, there's some like acting that's a little off here and there, but the writing's
good.
The writing's really good. Like the Randy Quaid's son, Miguel.
Oh, he was awful.
Yeah, he's like, what's he doing?
And it's all ADR, like all post,
yeah,
like audio recording.
Yeah, like he's no good. And he's supposed to be, like, a good part, like, a important part, kind of, emotionally.
Luke Hedges, that's an actor.
His field's in the other side of town.
You idiot.
Yeah, he's not good. So there's some acting. Even, like, Randy Quaid, like, he's good in certain things. And this, like, he's really good in this in certain spots. And other spots, I'm like, eh.
Like
that was, like, writing issue. Like, let's say the end, he's like, in the words of the younger generation, up. Yours. I'm like, yeah, it could have been left out. man's committing suicide here.
I'm back.
Like, that's good.
He's not committing suicide. He's committing sacrifice.
It's martyrdom.
Yes. It's not that either. It's sacrifice.
You're dying for something you believe in.
That is martyrdom.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. That's what martyrdom is.
It's suicide.
Yeah.
Suicide.
I am committing suicide. Don't try to stop me, Smee.
Try to stop me this time, Smee. Try to stop me.
Smee, stop me.
Get up off your ass.
Let's watch Hook.
This is not a joke. I'm committing suicide. Does that sound like him? A little bit?
Kinda.
Okay.
Let's get him in here. Bring in our guest now, Dennis Rodman.
What? Dennis Rodman. Yeah. Dustin Hoffman here, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you seen The Graduate yet?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was real good in that film, yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
I've seen him in that and like Little Big Man.
Why are we talking about Dustin Hoffman?
I don't fucking know.
We're talking about America.
We're talking about Dustin Hoffman.
I think he's in a little bit of the...
Did I say Dennis Hoffman at one point?
Yeah, trying to say Dennis Hopper or something.
No, I was trying to say Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, that too.
It was a joke, and it kind of got stuck in my head.
Dustin Hoffman's in some trouble, I think, too.
Is he?
Yeah, I think he did some bad stuff. We'll have to look that up later.
Well,
but yeah, I hear you. Some of the acting's a little eh.
And some of it's due to writing issues here.
You know, this movie's really long. It's 2.5 hours long, yeah. Pretty much.
We started it. We're like, fuck.
Yeah, but it didn't feel like it.
Nah. I thought it flew because it's suspenseful. Mm-hmm. And I like how it's set up into like three parts because you have like July 2nd. It's like the build, and then it happens, and then it ends.
Yeah,
and then
like
the next July 3rd is like aftermath, and like more build, and then July 4th is like, let's go fuck something up.
Yeah. And that goes back to the directing. It's just handled so well. This movie's very smooth, and stings the nostrils in a good way. And it's just well put together, well paced. And exciting, like it knows when to bring up the action. It knows when to have like some interesting, some interesting dialogue scenes, like further along the plot. Never like heavy exposition, because you would think something like this, like what are these aliens? Where do they come from? What do they want? Never is there like the scene. It's like this is what happened. This is why they're here. Blah blah blah.
They just kind of it's like
sprinkled throughout.
Yeah, it's like and then some of it's like in post, like. The president's just like, I saw their thoughts. They are like locusts. They come to this planet.
Oh, yeah.
They devour its resources, move on to the next. We're the next one. Like, That's all you need. I was thinking halfway through, I'm like, do they ever even find out why they're here? And then in my head, I was like, why does it even matter? They're just there to fuck shit up, yeah, and that's it.
And we're here to fuck them up.
Yeah. Let's go to them.
Yeah, that's kind of what the second one's about. But anywho,
about the third one.
There, hopefully, there will never be a third one. Oh, that's what the second one leads to. It's like, let's go fuck them up at their planet.
Yeah,
it's the second one. Well, I don't want to talk. I mean, we need to talk about
Will Smith with Dave Chappelle.
I wish.
Doing a Will Smith impression.
Dave Chappelle from A Star Is Born.
I was just thinking that. I was like.
He's in that.
I remember watching him in that, and I'm like, wait a minute. That's Dave Chappelle. I even told Fiance. I was like, what's he doing in this movie? She's like, who's that? I'm like, a comedian. A really funny comedian. Why is he in this? Like
Eddie Griffin. What are you doing here, too? But
I haven't seen you since Undercover Brother.
That's all you need.
Yes, this movie's great, too.
But
anyways, why are we talking about that?
I don't know. Let's bring it back to America. This movie... is all about the American spirit. He may beat his dad, but we'll get right back up again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
that's why today Gus was like trying to, apparently your girlfriend is going to be watching an American movie. And you were like, Ben, when you think of an American movie, what's the first thing that pops into mind? And the first thing that popped into my head was Rocky, because it's like the American dream. Like you're starting at the bottom and you're getting to the top, and you know, you go the distance and you accomplish your dream, or you get very close in his case. But mm-hmm. then you also, in the end, Rocky gets the gal and all that shit. And you were like, over the top.
No, over the top, of course.
Most American film.
Yeah, you got arm wrestling movie where you arm wrestle for the custody of your son.
Yeah,
and you
obviously.
Drive a truck around
a truck.
With weights.
And yeah, you have that little arm pull. You ever been driving around in your van? And you're like, I wish it.
Yeah, I do.
Just had an arm pull.
I do.
To practice.
I do.
But in terms of this film, do you think that, if like you were ranking alien films, where would this rank for you?
Alien films or alien invasion films, sci-fi films? Like, what are we talking about?
Movies where aliens are the plot point, like the main, like Star Wars, aliens aren't like the plot point of the film, right?
Yeah,
that's a sci-fi movie.
Top 10 for sure. Top 5 maybe.
What
you sprung
you consider,
this on
like
me.
The number one like alien movie? Alien.
Aliens. Alien, aliens.
Okay, Predator
aliens.
Would be up there for me.
Predator. I like Predator more than this.
I wish, the only thing about Predator I would wish is that they don't show that it's an alien, like, right off the bat. Like, start at what? Like, it's like 2 minutes in, and it starts with them in the helicopter.
This is in a different breed, though. This is like an alien invasion movie.
Okay, best alien invasion movie.
That might be the best.
Because I think it's the only one.
No, it is not.
I know. What other alien invasion movies are there? I can't think of
Arrival. That's great.
I haven't seen it. But that's not like a bad alien invasion, though.
E.T.
That's not a bad alien invasion.
He's out
invasion.
To kill motherfuckers.
Yeah. They're just there to be happy.
He's a goblin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're like, huh. Guess there isn't that many. Day the Earth Stood Still.
Battle L.A.
Fuck, that's terrible. Battleship.
Battleship. The best.
Yeah. Like, might be the best. That's
Pacific
why I said alien
Rim.
Films. Yeah. That's not aliens.
They're
interdimensional.
They're USOs.
No. Unidentified submerged object?
Yes.
No.
Watch your Ancient Aliens. Chew your gum.
I watched that episode many a time. I've watched every season. Yeah, I was watching Ancient... We're on Aliens right now, so we're still on topic,
on
listeners.
Aliens.
But I was watching Ancient Aliens the other day. That's one of my guilty pleasures. Is I like Ancient Aliens because it's just all bullshit. But it's so fun to watch because sometimes you're like, huh, I didn't know that aliens built the pyramids. But I was watching it, and it was alien. The episode popped up, and it's like aliens and discs. And it was about aliens and, like, CDs. Like, I was like, how's this relate? I've watched Aliens and Dinosaurs. I've watched Aliens and Bigfoot.
You realized you're on, like, season 40, and they're running out of stuff to talk
like
about.
Aliens and shelves.
What if the space in between your books was actually space? Where are they from? Why did they come here? Yeah. So What are some, do you have any like memories with Independence Day from the past? This film in general, you said, yeah, it's been a long time since you've seen it. Yeah. Do you have any little tales to tell?
I don't really know. With this film, to be honest, it's really, what's weird is like, usually when I watch a movie that I haven't seen in a while, I can like somewhat recall the last time I watched it. And I feel like I didn't necessarily not watch it. So up until like this, I think I watched, last time I watched it was up until like the scientist, like they go to Area 51. Mm-hmm. And I stopped it and never finished the rest of it. So I think that's why I was hazy on like that part of the film. I was like, I don't remember. Spoilers. I was like, I don't remember the president's wife dying. I don't remember that happening at all. And then I was like halfway like they're about to go into space. I'm like, I don't remember them going into space.
Yeah. what is this movie? Yeah, this is great.
Yeah. I was like, so I don't really remember. Like, I couldn't even tell you the first time I watched it.
Yeah.
I was only a year old when it came out, and I was probably maybe 10, a little older. Because it's not necessarily, there's like one scary part that could scare a child. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's just really intense.
It was almost rated R, believe it or not. It's this pretty simple scene where they changed it so they didn't get the R rating, which is weird. Anyway, there's the part where that guy, he's like, oh, I gotta call. Gotta call my whoever. Gotta call this person. Gotta call my lawyer. Forget my lawyer. That forget my lawyer is actually dubbed over. It doesn't like match his mouth.
Fuck my lawyer.
He says, fuck my lawyer. Yeah.
What the hell? Like that. You get one F word per movie. Was this before that rule?
It must be.
Because now you can get like two and be fine.
Toe.
Yeah.
Pretty sure there's some PG movies in, back in the day. They're like, fuck that. Something like that.
Yeah. kids today.
Speaking of lines, this movie's got some iconic lines. Welcome to Earth. He didn't say it like that. He says, welcome to Earth. That's what I call Close Encounter.
Good.
The line where he's like dragging the alien. He's like, I should have went to a barbecue. What's that smell? That actually was not in the script. Where they were shooting, there's something with like shrimps, and they would like die. And they smelled, and no one told Will Smith, and that was like actually him freaking out. Like he was like in the moment, he was in the scene. I think he yelled it as like a joke. He's like, "What's that smell?" But they're like, "Yeah, it's like,
fuck, he's a movie star." Phil Pullman's whole speech at the end. That's like one of those movie scenes that like I'll look up. Like and be like on YouTube, like I gotta watch that speech sometime.
You applauded it afterwards.
You stood up.
I stood up and I threw tissues in the air, like out of the box.
Like
let's celebrate. And I drank some beer.
And we shot off Roman candles in the house. What? That didn't
we
happen.
Pinched each other's nipples. If Jimmy Stewart was the president, how would he say his speech?
We're gonna live on. We're going to celebrate our Independence Day. Because, you know, I can't help you, though. I'm not going to be flying because I got a thing with heights and vertigo. I'm terribly afraid. I got to go up a couple steps and then back down and up another couple. And hold on, Mitch.
Let's go and murder those aliens.
Yeah, let's give them a virus.
That's good stuff.
Hey, so this movie... I couldn't help but draw parallels between this film and War of the Worlds.
Oh.
Like, you know, because that's how they, right? That's how they kill him. I've never actually seen the full, like, Tom Cruise version. I saw the sci-fi version. Like, you know how, like, they did, like, sci-fi Shining. They did a sci-fi version of that. It was really long. Really depressing. I watched
the
it with Mom.
TV version.
See, that's, like, what's weird. So, like, sometimes with movies, I'll remember. And then, like in this one, like I don't remember watching Independence Day at any point in my life. Like, I can't recall when I watched it. I know I watched it. I just can't recall when or, like, where. What with that, with War of the Worlds, watching that made-for-TV version, Mom had made stuffed shell – or not stuffed shells, stuffed peppers that night. And it was just Mom and I.
Why do you remember
that? I know. Dad was away, and you were either at a friend's house or working. It was just Mom and I, and we were just flipping through the channels, and we put on War of the Worlds. I remember that because there's a disturbing scene with a priest where he's like, he doesn't believe
you
in
okay
God
over
anymore.
There? Oh.
Yeah. He doesn't, like, believe in God anymore, and then the priest, like, dies ultimately, or something happens. I remember, like, being really disturbed. It's like I remember being really disturbed with, like, Lord of the Flies, like,
yeah,
growing up. Like, when
you don't like that.
Porky gets nailed with a... his name was Porky, right?
Something like that, yeah.
And he gets hit with a boulder, and they just fuck him up.
Yeah.
Like, that bothered me.
Anything in this movie bother you? Anything in this movie you don't like or would have preferred to be different? That is noticeable other than Miguel.
Well, no. Before that,
oh, sorry.
Just talking about War of the Worlds. In War of the Worlds, doesn't that is how they basically give them like a common cold to wipe them out.
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure in War of the Worlds, that's how they kill them. They basically give the aliens like what happened when American or not Americans, but like settlers came in to America for the first time. The Columbian Exchange killed millions of Native Americans. Because and maybe and probably more than that, they just the Columbian Exchange bringing all those different diseases over, and killing off vast varieties of them because their immune system wasn't able to handle it. So I'm pretty sure that's how they killed the aliens in War of the Worlds was they introduced like a bacteria or a cold and basically a virus, and that's basically what they do in this. I'm like, it's almost like a retelling. Like it's like War of the Worlds is
like
the,
some facts of it.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Signs. Signs is my favorite alien invasion movie.
It is good.
Condors. Condors.
On the verge of extinction. If I were to clone condors on this island, you wouldn't have anything to say. No, condors, or we're not talking about animals that were wiped out by deforestation or logging. No, dinosaurs had their chance. Nature selected them for extinction.
Very good.
Yes.
is there anything about this movie you don't like?
I like, crossed my legs under the chair, and my pinky toe got stuck in the wood.
Hey, you know, as we say here and
talk about my pinky toe getting stuck in wood.
Good old America, that's not good. Answer my question.
What?
Anything in this movie you don't like or that you'd like change or that you feel is a little weak or not as strong as it could be? The storytelling.
I thought the storytelling elements were good and tight enough to, you know, like you said, it was two and a half hour long movie. I felt it flew. Acting is really solid in most aspects. The most important aspects are good. If I were to change anything, it would be some of, and excluding acting, it would be to see more of, like, the rest of the world. Because, like, you see a lot of, like, there's a lot of... I'm sure the budget was pretty stretched thin on this movie.
Yeah.
But you see a lot of shots are, like, in the desert. In destroyed areas. Like, I would have liked to see, like, other parts of the world. And I understand, like... this is one other nitpick of mine, but... something that, like, The Walking Dead... which I'm not, like, a huge Walking Dead fan, but I've always appreciated it. Something I like about it is it always shows, like, the smaller side of things. It's not, like, what's going on in this big city. Or, like, even in Zombieland does some of that where it's, like, you see some of the side things. Disaster movies, they were, like, trying to show, like, all these aspects. And so that's what I'm saying with, like, I would like to see something happen in, like, Pittsburgh or something in, like, Cleveland. Like, you don't see that happen. So it's, like, I would like to see different locations. I would have liked to see a shot of like what's going on a smaller scale, like what's going on in, you know, buttfuck Nowhereville. Like I would like to see something like that. I'm sure.
I'd like to see that town.
Yeah, it's a town. It's somewhere. But yeah, I would like to see like, you know, what's going on over there. How's the rest of the world reacting? At least maybe like a 5-minute scene showing like, you know, a news report being like, this is what's happening. Because they do say like there's riots at the beginning. But after the destruction part, you don't know what's going on. And maybe that's an isolation and like feeling to say like you're just following these characters. So you're only worried about what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, that's like a nitpick, really.
Honestly, I like that addition, like what, like maybe more of the world here and there,
yeah.
Just like cut to different areas. Don't have to linger on them too much. Just to have that addition for it. I feel like the weakest part of this movie is, Randy Quaid's character's family and because it cuts to them every now and then and dedicates
mostly just staring at things.
Yeah, it dedicates some time to their characters.
I don't know if there's some deleted scenes or something though. Because like there's a scene like where Miguel walks in and he's like, "Dad, everyone's leaving," and he's like, Randy Quaid's like with the other son putting like an ice pack on his head and being like, "You should feel better in no time." I'm like, what happened to him? Okay. Last time we saw him, he was fine.
No, he's puking. He's not feeling well.
Oh, when did you see that?
I don't know. He's like, "Can we pull over, man? I'm not feeling
good." Oh, I was probably getting chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was getting some food. Yeah, when that happened.
He probably were. He's throwing up and say he's
sick. Well, never mind. Yeah. Disregard that.
We're all fine here. Yep, how are you?
Everything's fine now. How are you?
So, yeah, it dedicates a lot of time to them, and I get what they were trying to do. It's just they're a little weak, as in I just didn't give a shit.
Yeah,
about their little portion.
Was there a need for all three of them? Couldn't there have been like one little young child?
Just Miguel. That's all you really needed. If he was better as a character, that's all you really needed was him. But I guess
he was like, for those of you who haven't seen this film and you're like, why are they bashing on this Miguel guy? He was like discount Keanu Reeves, like, like Keanu Reeves, but I was about to say Keanu Reeves, but really bad. But like Keanu Reeves, like he's not necessarily like phenomenal, but that's sacrilege. Because he is phenomenal, but acting wise, sometimes he's not the best. So he just busts through the door, and you're like, "No!" He said it. But
which
yeah,
one
he's
of
like,
you killed my dog?
he's like, I haven't seen John Wick yet. He's like discount Keanu Reeves. He like kind of looks like Keanu Reeves, but he's just so like wooden throughout.
No, and I get what they were trying to do because it was like they set up a scene with the younger brother who was sick, and Miguel kind of takes care of him. They did the whole scene where the sister was going to make out with that dirtbag guy, and Miguel comes in and rescues her. So it was kind of setting them up like if Randy Quaid's character, spoiler alert, sacrifices himself.
Martyred him.
He martyred him. The family's going to be okay.
Kids will be all right.
Yeah.
And that.
Tell them I love them very much.
Yeah.
Good shit though.
Yeah, no, the movie's great.
Good stuff.
And it can be watched at any time in the year.
That's right.
Because really, it is. I mean, there's a lot of times I was watching. I'm like, this is like a Star Wars dogfight going on at the end.
There's
like,
some exciting fights. Yeah, at the end,
it's good. Like really good finale scene. But even throughout, there's a lot of good fighting scenes. And I honestly can't get over the first half of the movie or the first like 45 minutes, you're on edge. Like I don't know about you, but I was like, I'm very uneasy. Like
you looked over at me and you're like, I can't look at you while you're watching this movie.
You like leaned forward
with my mouth agape, like
but even like there's like the people like the welcoming party and they're up there on like building, like that made me uneasy because I'm like, you are so high up and you're about to die. Like, and you know it's coming. It's like dramatic irony. You like know what's about to happen to these people. They don't know it though, and they're all excited, and then they just get fucking zapped.
Zapped real good, like.
Yeah. It's just, oof. Yeah.
Well.
Zapped with Scott Baio.
Let me ask you this: if Independence Day. I almost said Independence Day 4. I was like, ID 4.
I keep thinking that. Like, it says ID 4 right on the cover of the movie, and I was like,
there's four of these?
That doesn't make sense. No, like, Independence Day 4.
If you were to make it today, could you make it better?
Or
could
Independence Day didn't happen to do, like, an Edge of Tomorrow thing. Where, like, it was, like, Edge of Tomorrow when it was in theaters, and they're like, fuck it, make it Live, Die, Repeat.
Oh.
Change its name.
Before we do jump to the factory here, I just want to make a little statement. Independence Day, as we talked about last week on our podcast, big blockbuster.
Was it?
Big summer blockbuster. It became the second highest grossing film of all time.
Really?
In 1996.
Holy hell.
And it was...
Where's it rank now?
Oh, I don't know. No, because Jurassic Park was number one.
Because Marvel took over.
No, it's nowhere near the top 10 anymore.
Avatar, Titanic. Avatar Endgame, Titanic, Avengers.
Let's see here. Highest grossing films. I've been looking up Independence Day stuff all day, so automatically all my Google searches want to go to, like, 1996. Let's see here. Just for your little noodle, you got Avatar, Avengers, Titanic.
I don't care about any of that. Where's ID4?
Oh, this is top 25. Force Awakens, blah, 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 Black Panther, a lot. It's all like,
I told
super,
you.
So,
Marvel took over.
Independence
Disney
Day
took over
four.
In general. Independence Day 4.
Yeah, I just
followed
did it
by Independence Day 5.
It's nowhere in there.
It's not in the top 25 anymore.
Nah,
it's crazy.
And the lowest of the top 25 is Skyfall with 1,108,000. Oh, no.
1 million.
1 billion, sorry. 1,108,600,000.
That's a good movie.
Independence Day's overall gross was like 800-some million. So that tells you how far along movies have come or how far
inflation
along ticket prices have come.
Inflation. All right. Yeah, well, you asked the question, what would this film look like today? So let's go ahead and take the movie to the factory. So in this portion of the show, what we do here is we take the film we just watched and we imagine what it would look like if it were to come out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star in the film? So we watched Independence Day. So who would you have direct Independence Day if it were to come out today and not be Roland Emmerich because he is active, but...
Not Roland Emmerich.
Who would
baby
you have?
I'm going with director Brad Bird. Are you familiar with old Brad
Pixar
baby
stuff?
He's done a lot of Pixar stuff. He he did Iron Giant back in the day, but he got his Pixar fix with The Incredibles. One of my favorites, Ratatouille. He did Incredibles 2 as well. He did the Disney movie Tomorrowland, which is kind of mixed with some people. But my real reason for picking him for this film, other than being a great storyteller and visual director, is Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
I haven't seen any of the Mission Impossibles.
God.
Ever.
Some of them, they're all really fucking cool.
How many are there? Seven?
Six right now.
It's like just as many of those as there are Fast movies.
There's six of them right now, and they're filming 7 and 8 back to back.
What the hell? When's he going to quit? He's going to be...
Never.
He's going to be 80 years old and still running around doing his stunts.
Mission Impossible.
Tiny Tom Cruise.
Ghost Protocol is an amazing action movie, and just like Independence Day has amazing action. Some iconic stuff. He can just really capture that in his directing. He's got the repertoire.
Yeah. With my director, I was like watching this movie. I honestly had no clue who to cast. Choose as a director, and I was like, thinking, and as I watched it, it slowly started to mold to me. I'm like, you know who would be a good director of this film? And it's not a director I necessarily like, and it's not Ridley Scott, but it's not a director that I necessarily like. He's done movies that I do enjoy, though, and I feel like if this film, literally the same film, just he's just directing it, there's a lot of explosions in this movie.
Oh,
you know who
dare
likes explosions? Michael Bay.
Don't you?
Michael Bay fucking loves explosions.
I don't care.
He loves them. He did Transformers 1 and 2. They're okay.
He did Armageddon.
He did Rock. Rock.
He did Did he do Armageddon? Is that Michael Bay?
No, maybe.
Don't want to close my
Alexa.
Eyes. Hey, Google.
Yeah, why don't you?
Who directed Armageddon?
Armageddon was directed by Michael Bay.
Got it. Fuck.
I didn't know you had that hooked up. Good. Good for you. Michael Bay. Okay, Google. Who? Fuck.
My apologies. I don't understand.
Good. Google. Okay, Google. What has Michael Bay directed?
Jesus.
Michael Bay directed Transformers, Transformers, The Last Knight, Transformers, Age of Extinction, and others. Let me know if you want me to tell you more.
More! Anyways.
She said, fuck you.
Anyways.
He directed Transformers, Transformers, Transformers. And then it broke.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
He produced
them. He produced them. They're still shit. Everything he directs is shit. But he's really good at explosions and action. That is what he's known for. He should probably be a cinematographer. But
he's got some films that I enjoy.
The Rock's good. The
Rock's great. I really enjoy
the first Transformers. Second one's not bad.
Armageddon's good, from what I remember.
Armageddon. It's got Bruce Willis in it, and it's got a great fucking theme song.
That's right.
Well, it's Bruce Willis, Brad Pitt, or not Brad Pitt, Ben Affleck.
Steve Buscemi, and Liv Tyler. But anywho.
Yeah, Michael Bay. I really picked him for the explosions.
Yeah, I'll flip you for it.
Okay. You're going to be sad when I win this. Heads, Michael Bay. Tails, Braddy Bird Baby.
BBB.
Tails, Brad Bird.
BBB.
All right, B-B-B. Who you got composing it?
I went with last one first. Who you got?
So for mine, I was watching this movie, and it right from the get-go, I was like, I don't know who to cast. And literally the first shot is of like the moon, and it's playing some patriotic music. And I kind of thought to myself of space, obviously. Space. But then I also thought of patriotic music that I've heard before in a video game, actually.
What?
Yeah.
How dare you?
No. You'll agree with this in a second.
This realm.
I'm just double checking my facts here, but I'm pretty sure that I'm correct in this. So I first thought space. And then I kind of thought about Crysis 2, the video game, because Crysis 2, it's been years since I played it, but it's very not dystopian world, but it's pretty like destroyed futuristic stuff. And Hans Zimmer does the music, or does the opening theme, which is really American. I'll play it for you after the show here, because it's really, really good. And so I was like, Hans Zimmer, I've heard of his work on that and like that video game, but he's also done Interstellar. And I was thinking Interstellar and space. And I think that his use in like, I recently watched Batman, Dark Knight. He's really good at getting suspense and using music. Like the end of Batman, like the Dark Knight, every time, like when the credits hit, I'm like, oh my God, yeah. Music so like well placed. So yeah, he's
Inception.
Hans Zimmer is one of the best composers living today. We've used him a lot of times, but I think he would do a good job with this film.
I agree. I'm gonna go with Michael Giacchino. Are you familiar with his work?
Used him once or twice.
I've brought him up before. He has also worked with my director a few times with The Incredibles and Ratatouille, but he also did that space movie, Star Trek. Are you familiar with the newer Star Trek film?
I've seen the first one, but I watched it on TV, so it took 5 hours.
No thanks. Yeah. But the music's great. He did Super 8, which is, so touching, that score.
Halfway through Star Trek, I'm like, was that Chris Hemsworth at the beginning?
That's right. He did Mission Possible. He's done so many things. He even recently did the new Spider-Man film, Incredibles 2, Coco, War for the Planet of the Apes. He's kind of everywhere.
Still need to watch that.
He did Rogue One.
It wrote.
Yeah, he did. He did Doctor Strange.
Oh, that's what I know him from. Star Trek. I like his music in
Jurassic World.
I like his music. Well, I like Jurassic World, but I really like his music in Rogue One, because I remember going into Rogue One, I was like, I don't know, like Star Wars without John Williams, like that's gonna be weird. And I thought he did a really good job, because I mean, they do give you, obviously you're allowed to use the Star Wars music and integrate, but I thought he did a really good job in that as well.
So that's my pick, Michael Giacchino.
Has Hans Zimmer won an Oscar?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So I was going to say, Michael Giacchino.
Let's get him another Oscar. Heads, Hans Zimmer. Tails, Michael Giacchino. Your lucky day, Michael Giacchino. All righty. Who you want to cast next? Captain Steve Hiller, who is Will Smith's character. David, who was Jeff Goldblum, and or President Wilborn?
Whitmore.
It? Whitmore.
Let's do Steve Hiller, Captain Steve Hiller,
Captain
with
Steve
honors.
Hiller. Who did you have for this?
I got, I just lost his name, Chadwick Boseman.
Okay.
The Black Panther himself. Prince Jackie Robinson himself.
Yes.
Old 42. He's been doing his thing for a few years now. He's really coming into the starlight as being a big star. And back in 1996, Will Smith taking on this role, it was a big role for an actor. You know, like, where I'm going to be in this film, it's going to be a big deal. It's going to be good for you. Chadwick Boseman, he's the kind of the guy right now to go after with his Black Panther fame.
So if we hadn't used him so much, I was going to say Michael B. Jordan. Yeah. Because he's obvious choice.
That's who we chose for Will Smith's character from
Men in Black.
The Men in Black.
Yeah, so like that would be the obvious choice. So let me write down Chadwick Boseman for you here. So I actually went with an actor that is also in Black Panther. He's not really in a lot of other movies other than one big film you may have heard of, which is Get Out. And that is Mr. Daniel Kaluuya, I believe. It's Kaluuya.
I can't pronounce it either, but yeah.
It looks like Kaluuya or Kaluuya. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's the main character in Get Out. And then he's the guy, Shira, Prince T'Challa's like guard. She's the
Michonne.
Yeah, she's from Walking Dead. It's like his wife or love interest, but he's supposed to be like best friends with the prince.
Right.
He's really good in that. He's good in Get Out, in what I've seen him in.
He got nominated for a statue.
Yeah. So I thought he would do good because he's honestly, those are like his. You look it up. Those are like his two movies. And if I hadn't mentioned Anthony Mackie on Men in Black, I would have also.
I thought of him too, and I was like, yeah, he's
always talking about. Yeah, I even thought for a second, I'm like, why can't we cast him older? Put motherfucking Don Cheadle in there.
Don Cheadle.
Or who is the guy that used to be Rhodey?
Oh shit.
Taylor.
Yeah, I can never remember his name, but he kind of sounds like I'm talking right now.
Yeah. Well, you never hear me talking. You gotta respect me. I put on this suit. That's what he says in Iron Man 1.
That's right.
How was the fun, V?
That's good stuff.
Something Taylor.
Right? I don't think it's Taylor at all.
Maybe not. Everyone's at home like yelling it at me. Have you ever done that? You listen to a podcast and they're like, I don't know what it is. I'm like, it's this, you idiots! Listen! All the time.
What is his name?
Lawrence Fishburne.
No, it is not.
He was paid a lot of money, and now he's regretting not staying on for the rest of this. Terrence Howard.
Terrence Howard.
Fuck. I like how he's good. If you look up Iron Man, and like it gives the cast, like Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man, Jon Favreau, Happy Hogan,
John Favreau,
Pepper Potts, Terrence Howard, War Machine. I'm like, lies. He wasn't War Machine yet. He was Rhodey. Even like Jeff Bridges, time. they're like Ironmonger. I'm like, hold on now. No.
Yes, he was.
No, not yet. They're giving it away.
Ah.
He's there just to say, Tony.
Tony Stark. Okay. Flipper.
Daniel Day-Lewis would get in character for that role.
You gonna flip it or what?
Yeah, I was writing it down.
You don't need to write it down.
I have a book. I've done every episode of the podcast in this book other than I started with Conan in this book.
That was episode 3.
Yeah, so with episode 3, I have every... So yes, it matters. Write it down. Steve Hiller heads Daniel Kaluuya, and Chadwick Boseman will be Tails.
That's a good flip.
Tails, fuck. I'm losing this movie.
It's my Chadwick movie, Boseman. Baby.
All right, David.
David. Who do you want as your David?
Honestly, who do you want as your David? It was funny, and I don't know if this is accurate at all, but I was like, Jeff Goldblum, he's a Jewish actor. I'll look up Jewish actors. And I was like looking through, I'm like, really? Like, as I was going
all
through.
Of them.
Yeah, every actor, believe it or not. But as I was going through, I saw an actor on this list, and like I said, I don't know if that's accurate, like if he really is a Jewish actor or anything of that nature.
It doesn't really matter.
No. I was just like, Jeff Goldblum, he's like prominent. So I was like, yeah, it doesn't really matter. But Jesse Eisenberg, I figured he's like a nerdy-ish goofy enough character to pull off like the Jeff Goldblum isms of it all. I just kind of thought about him as I don't know why, but I thought about him as like goofy
Lex Luthor.
Like Bruce Wayne and
Jesus
Clark Kent in the same room. I'm so happy. Like I thought
bring people together.
He could bring that kind of like eccentricness to the film. So yeah, I went with Jesse Eisenberg because I know he can do serious stuff too. We've seen his funny stuff in Zombieland,
Adventureland.
You've seen his serious stuff in Social Network, which I think was he nominated for Social Network.
I believe so, yes.
So he kind of has a range that he can pull off. He was miscast. I won't blame him for his role of Lex Luthor. He was just really miscast.
I hear you.
So you
were trying to embody for the character Goldblum and Goldblum like weird side of it, or maybe the weird side of this character in general. I'm gonna do something similar, but I'm gonna embody the sexy side of that character.
Oh, okay.
Okay. An actor who definitely can play the brain kind of character. But also the strut at the end, you know, when
what the fuck
Will
was that?
Smith and Jeff Goldblum, they save the earth.
What is he doing?
And they're strutting.
Yeah, but he's like really, he's like he putting his hips into it. And shit. I'm like, what the hell is he doing?
I was like, what's he doing? Why is it working?
Yeah.
I'm going with, my boy, Jake Gyllenhaal. Jake Gyllenhaal.
He was on the list. He's a Jewish actor.
Hey, there you go.
That was the one I was looking at. I was like, really? I almost went with him.
Yes, Jake Gyllenhaal, recently in that new Spider-Man movie, Far From Home, as Mysterio. He's a Nightcrawler. He's excellent Nightcrawler. Donnie Darko himself.
Yeah, I recently saw, let me know if you agree with this. I recently saw, it was like an article or a video or something. It was like Jake Gyllenhaal sits down and talks about or discusses his most iconic role. And it was Donnie Darko. Do you think that's like his, because it's like a cult film, though.
That's his most iconic role,
really?
For sure.
Okay.
I would say so. Yeah. Jakey, baby.
Jake Gyllenhaal. You don't think of him from, like, Prince of Persia? Anyways, David.
Only when I shoot awake from a nightmare.
Like, video game movies will never work. All right. Heads, Jesse Eisenberg. Tails, Jake Gyllenhaal. How about if it lands on its side, which is tails again, because that's flipped. If it lands on its side, Maggie Gyllenhaal.
There you go.
Because they're both just awful. All right. Jake Gyllenhaal. All right. I better get this last one. Jesus.
You're going to survive.
Who do you have?
For the president?
Yes.
Thomas president. J. Whitmore?
Yes.
Well, I know your pick.
Yes, sir.
Because we accidentally revealed it earlier, and I think that should win.
Should.
This is
great.
Because the only actor that came to my mind for some reason, I'm like, who's the most like patriotic thing I can fucking think of for an actor?
Jeff Daniels.
That'd be good.
Have you ever seen him in the movie when he's like
show.
America is not the greatest country on earth?
Yeah.
I think it's the Newsroom or something.
That's it.
It's great. That's a great scene.
I'm going older, but going Gary Sinise.
Fuck, that's Lieutenant Dan. Lieutenant Dan. Might be
and
a
in
little
real,
out of the age range for being the youngest president.
That's
of
right. He's 64 currently. Yeah. But they can de-age him.
Good, because they have the technology.
Space titanium.
Yeah. like he's like not instead of he's like what they used on the rocket ships. He's like what they used on Mechagodzilla. Yeah,
that's space titanium.
I get it. The space titanium's from space.
That's I mixed it up. He doesn't say space. He says titanium alloy.
Yeah.
Like space titanium. Mechagodzilla.
So they use on Mechagodzilla space titanium.
This is from space because it's space alloy.
They're like, this is space titanium. He's like, you mean it's from space? That's a line in Mechagodzilla.
Oh, God. That's good shit. But Gary Sinise, he's real American hero. He's been doing stuff, raising money for veterans and just saving lives.
He's Lieutenant Dan.
He's got ice cream.
He does.
He was Lieutenant Dan Taylor.
He was.
You are
he
Lieutenant
is.
Dan.
So for my pick, as Gus said, he already knows, but I watched a film last night and was like, this guy's a fucking movie star, as Gus has told me many a times. And
he never believed me.
As I watched it, though, I was like, as I watched the movie tonight, because in my head I had the idea last night, and then I, you know, needed some watching to make sure that it was the right pick. And Bill Pullman is great in this role. He really is. And he
second best role.
He's very believable as, like, the president in this film. And it's really good. But I wanted to go with someone who could probably, I mean, I think I've seen him do intense acting before, and very serious acting. I've seen him do funny stuff. I've seen him do, like, where he's really crazy. And that's good old Tiny Tom Cruise. Because everyone here is in for a neat day.
He would be, because he's a fucking movie star.
Well, yeah, because I was, like, thinking, like, oh, man. Like, his dialogue in A Few Good Men. Like, he's able to deliver, like, the energy and the speeches. And, you know, I was thinking of him in Minority Report. He's really good in Minority Report. You just said he's good in all the Mission Impossibles. He's really good in Not Legend.
He is, damn it. You know what? Let me help you out.
Scene Legend.
He's good in everything.
True.
Top Gun.
You seen that movie where he...
Risky
You
business.
Seen that movie where he hangs on to the side of the plane?
Mission Possible 5 Ghost Protocol?
Happened. Did it.
Yeah.
Does all his stunts.
This is true. This is big facts.
But that's another reason, though, when I was thinking, I was like, all right, the president was a former Air Force pilot, Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise.
He was in Top Gun. And they're making Top Gun 2, right?
That's right.
Which is just Independence Day 3. Independence Day 5.
What
skips
year
all the
is it?
That's what they're going to do. They're going to fight aliens in that movie.
So, hey, you know what? I'm giving them to you.
Yeah, because, well, for shits and gigs, let's flip and see who,
I
get. Yeah.
Tom Cruise garners the fates.
No! Fuck!
He lost control of the coin and it landed tails.
Flipper, again!
Flipper proper. Catch it this time, bitch.
Yes!
Yes.
Tom Cruise, it is.
Jesus,
I didn't win a single goddamn flip.
And for shits and gigs, there's a crazy scientist guy who doesn't get let out much in Area 51, played by Brent Spiner. Who would you cast as your crazy scientist?
Crazy scientist guy. If I were to cast my goofy, weird, old guy, maybe get Dana Carvey in there.
Oh, yeah.
He's a goofy guy. You could even get, like... You can get any comedian in that role.
What if Adam Chandler was the scientist?
Who would be...
I don't know. Hoo-hoo.
Who would be good? He'd be more serious, but I think his seriousness would pay off. Would be Nick Offerman.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it just a seriousness. Like,
what if
humor.
Instead of really long hair, he has a really long mustache?
Yeah. That would be great. But, like, they don't let us out very much.
Yeah.
I understand. But he's, like, still shaking his hand or something. I'm going to make a steak. I'll be back. Made a nice flank steak and gave a woman a tracheotomy. It's been a very rewarding day.
My pick.
That's from Parson Rec.
I'm sure. My pick, just to go with, it would be a nice callback to the original
Jeff
film.
Jeff Goldblum.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. He'd point like this with his, like, knuckles curled, but his fingers out.
There's a lot of aliens here. It's a tie. Sparkles. Lord of Thunder.
He'd be dancing like, yeah, do you want to see him? This way, yes.
We'll hit the music, and he presses it, and it plays that, it's my birthday, from Ragnarok.
That's right. Does her.
For our ID4, we got our director as Brad Bird, our composer Michael Giacchino, our Steve Hiller, Chadwick Boseman, David, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, and our president as Tiny Tom Cruise. Yes.
God damn it, I love this country.
Yes. So, with that being said, we watched Independence Day. I have a question for
you.
On
Independence Day.
On Independence Day, which is one of the most American things you can do, but that ties into my question. What do you
over
consider...
Over the top.
I want literal, not Rocky, not over the top.
Okay.
If you were going to watch another film on Independence Day... What would you watch? Like, what is the film, like, you were like, all right, this is American, like, American-ized holiday. Like, what are we going to watch?
Yeah.
What would you watch?
Fuck.
I think,
probably,
me personally, I say Patriot.
Probably Patriot.
Yeah, Patriot's easy choice for me.
Probably Patriot.
Mel Gibson's fucking great and
when
terrifying
he's
in
that
movie.
Flag at the end. I'm like,
when
yes.
And you're like, fucking kill Malfoy.
Yeah, that's right.
He kills Heath Ledger in that movie. He does. Like, no, that's sad. Like, that whole scene's sad.
He kills Heath. He kills another kid, too.
He kills the priest.
He kills the...
He orders them to burn that church down.
That's right. He kills the kid from Jurassic Park 3.
I don't know if you can be any worse than he is in that movie. He's like, pretty, he's pretty terrifying.
That villain.
And evil.
Yeah, Jason Isaacs. Yeah, Mel Gibson in The Patriot's pretty fucking incredible.
Yeah.
The Patriot in general is pretty
incredible. Good movie, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I love about that movie is, like, you don't see a lot of stuff on the American Revolution. That's really good. You could watch something like Lincoln or even Gettysburg. We talked about Jeff Daniels. You could always watch something like Gettysburg. Even
Matthew
though
Broderick, who's in Gettysburg, Glory. Was almost in, no. Yeah, Glory,
in Glory.
Glory, yeah. He was almost cast as David in this film, but
he dies. No, I'm thinking of the guy yelling David. I'm like, he dies.
Hey, Google, who directed The Patriot?
The Patriot was directed by Roland Emmerich.
Mother of God.
Choke yourself! Oh, God.
All full
circle. Oh, God, am I depressed.
He makes America great. Like, he made Independence Day, made The Patriot.
What else?
What? Hey, Google, what patriotic movies has Roland Emmerich made? Hey, she's not listening.
Okay, Google. What movies has Roland Emmerich directed?
That'd be good.
Roland Emmerich directed Independence Day, 2012, Independence Day, Resurgence, and others.
Thanks. No. Piss off.
You didn't say The Patriot, so fuck off.
We lost our Google sponsorship.
Yeah.
I can't really think of, like, I just, what's funny is, like, you're like, what's American? We're like, war! Like, naming all these war movies.
How about The Sandlot?
Sandlot's
nice,
pretty American.
Nice pastime,
you know,
young
you know,
up and
you know what's a pretty good, like, American film is American Graffiti, which
never
I don't think
seen.
You have seen, but that's, like, a pretty, like, that's an old school, like, small town America. Like, you watch something like, I'm thinking, like, American as Apple Pie, like, that's American Graffiti, that's, like, Grease, movies that kind of embodied, like, that era.
Americana.
Yeah, Americana.
How about going back to war and patriotism in America? How about G.I. Joe the movie?
Well, G.I. Joe the movie? How about Small Soldier? What? yeah, no.
My Hero Academia. Tale Two Heroes.
How do you say Yu-Gi-Oh with a Pittsburgh accent?
Yu-Gi-Oh. Goddamn Yu-Gi-Ohs.
Yeah, so America,
America
loves them some war movies.
Yes,
moral of the story.
How about Jaws?
Jaws is pretty American in a sense.
No, I'm saying on 4th of July. On 4th of July.
I would, yeah. Amity, as you know, means friendship.
Yes. We talk a lot of Jaws.
We talk a lot of everything here. Yeah. We talk a lot of space. Because
we are...
The movies!
That's right.
Before we get going here, let's do some of our housekeeping stuff. So, if you enjoyed what you heard here and you were listening to us, wherever you're listening to us, be sure to go check us out over on Audioboom. Download the app. Check us out on the website there. That's our primary source. That has the links to our social media. It is really our primary spot. We're posting our podcast there. They're the ones that disperses it out everywhere else. So be sure to check us out over there. You can subscribe to us there as well. We're also on, that being said, every other podcasting service. So Spotify, iTunes, etc. We're there. You can find us on Twitter. We're at the Bros Movie Pod. We post every day, you know, different clips of the podcast, memes that Gus makes, maybe what we're going to be doing soon. We'll post polls. We're also doing a lot of retweets and likes of other great podcasts. Be sure to check those out as well. We are at the Bros Movie Pod. You can also find us on Facebook.
Go to Facebook, type in the Brothers Movie Factory. You'll find us. Yeah, you'll find us.
I don't like any of that.
I'm making it all up as I go.
Like you weren't even done. Like, I didn't like any of that.
You're fired.
Yeah. No.
And I share all the things Ben said. Links to Audioboom, links to Spotify and our other podcasting sites and the Twitter. And I post memes every week for what we're watching. And that.
So with that being said, this was a patriotic version. Now it is July 5th as we sit here recording past midnight for you. So you better fucking appreciate it. Because this is America.
We're going to survive.
Yeah, we're going to live on.
Today,
we celebrated Independence Day.
By watching Independence Day.
With Bill fucking Pullman. So, until next week, brothers.
Brothers.
Brothers. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God.
Indivisible.
You wanna join in?
With liberty
and justice.
For all. And justice!